Hello, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whatever time you decide to listen to this podcast. Welcome to The Conversationalist. My name is Morelli Robinson, and this is my podcast. And today, November 16th of 2023, it is a Thursday. And I would like to talk about sex and more sex. I'm not sure that I'm going to play music in the background on this one. I may or may not. I'll decide after I listen to it. But I want to talk about sex because I feel like it's huge, as it always is, because sex sells, right? Usually when you say sex or you write the word sex, you get people's attention. Which is not necessarily a bad thing, but I kind of feel like I should be able to get your attention, or a person should be able to get your attention without having to use or say that word. But sex and more sex is, the conversation is going to be about the seriousness of sex, the consequences of sex when misused and abused. That's what I want to talk about. A friend of mine sent me a YouTube video this week about sex, and it was deep. It was clear. It might have been confusing to some that don't understand the seriousness and deepness of sex. It was eye-opening, and it could be scary to some that don't understand, or to some that are unaware. To those that maybe don't know Christ, that aren't saved, it could be scary to them as well. It could even be scary to a saved person. Like, you know, you could still be saved and scared, you know. But I want to discuss what I saw in the video, and I want to share how I gained more understanding as to why I act the way I act when it comes to sex outside of marriage. So I don't remember everything exactly or verbatim from the video. Wait, verbatim. What does that mean, girl? I'm saying this word and I'm not even sure what it means. I'm going to have to look that up. I have to remind myself. So the video is basically talking about how sex outside of marriage and having sex with multiple people can be damaging to one's soul. And I get a bit annoyed when people don't take the time to see and understand how serious and I'm going to try to pronounce this word, y'all. Detrimental. I had to say it real fast without thinking about it. Detrimental this can be to your soul. I think sometimes we forget about our soul and we neglect our soul because we're so busy caring for and making up the outer appearance that we neglect our soul. And I think that sex, according to this video and God, can be very damaging to one's soul. So now I am not one to judge, but I will say, because I'm in no place to judge anyone, but I will say that I never liked or agreed with women that decided to explore their sexuality and just sleep around with various men. I don't think it's okay for men or women to do this. Although men seem to get a pass, not from God. You don't get a pass from God. You get a pass from other men, women, and society that because you're a man, it's okay for you to sleep around and, you know, be with various and different women because you're a man. No. You're still disgusting. Well, that is still disgusting. And in my mind, you're a male hoe. I don't like the word hoe, but I'm going to say it. Because that is what I think you are. That is what you're doing. That's the act of a male hoe. Because you're sleeping with a whole rack of women without a commitment. You have no morals for your penis. Okay? your penis is just any and everywhere. That is disgusting. Okay, and I don't care that you wear a condom. It's your soul that is at stake. There is not a condom for your soul. So it's disgusting to me. The act is disgusting because sex is such an intimate thing and I don't feel like it should be done with any and everyone. So I cannot get with it. I refuse. Now, I've made my share of mistakes, so nobody's perfect. So I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not judging and saying, oh, I'm a saint. I'm far from a saint. This is why I need Jesus in my life. I'm just saying that if you're doing that, I think you should stop because it may look good, it may feel good, you may think it's the way to go, but really it's not. And when you're so caught up in it, you can't see it because you're so caught up in it, you can't see it. It's like you would need to take a minute and sit down and step outside of yourself and really look at what you're doing and get to know God, of course, because God brings a different eyesight, insight. You know, your whole perspective changes when you meet Christ. If it doesn't change, there's a problem, because it does change and it's amazing. So what I want to share about the video that I learned is, okay, I'm going to try to remember. Basically, it was saying that we pick up things, we pick up spirits. There's things that happen in the spiritual realm transitionally when we have sex with someone. We aren't aware of it at the time. We don't see it if we don't have the spiritual eyes to see it. We may not feel it at the time, because when you're in the act, it feels good. Or sometimes it does. Or maybe it should. I mean, for some women, sex is painful. But in the act, it feels good. You may or may not be thinking about it because you're in the act. But once it's over, depending on your walk with the Lord or where you are, you feel bad. Or you then think about what you did, given you're sober, because, you know, there's drunk sex. You think about what you did and you're like, oh, you know, you may feel bad. You may feel awful. I shouldn't have done that. What was I thinking? It comes after the act. It really ever comes in the act. Because we're distracted, so we're not really thinking about it, sometimes anyway. So for myself, I know that engaging in sex outside of marriage always bothered me. I cannot remember a time where I was like, oh, this is the life. Like, I could just have sex without being married to you. I really like this. Heck no. I was always drenched in guilt afterwards. I would feel bad. I would be like, I shouldn't have done that. Oh, God, please forgive me. It's guilt. I would call it guilt sex, okay? Now, I've had conversations with people, boyfriend included. I don't believe this, what I would call foolishness, where it's been said that God isn't upset with you if you're in a committed relationship. You may not be married, but you're only committed to each other, which means you're only having sex with each other. You're not having sex with anyone else outside of each other. God isn't mad at that. How could God be mad at that? Yeah, you're not married, but you're just having sex with each other. To me, that's a bunch of BS. Okay, let me say that first. And secondly, just because, now, I've heard people say, in the spiritual realm, people you have sex with, you're married to in the spiritual realm, like you're spiritually married or whatever. I don't know how true that is. There could be truth to that. I don't know. But what I will say is I do not believe for a second that God honors a man and woman that are just having sex with each other but aren't married. I don't believe that for a second. I will not believe that. I refuse to believe that. Because I feel like to believe that takes away from what God is saying. It takes away from God honoring marriage. It just takes away. And I'm not doing that. I don't believe that. You need to be married. There needs to be that covenant. I don't think just because I had sex with you, I'm not married to you. Although it's been said in the spiritual realm, that's what happens. I don't know about that. I can't vouch for that because I don't know. I just know for me, for myself, I want to be married to the man I'm having sexual relations with. I know in my heart, and I believe that is what God wants for me. So there had to come a time where I'm like, girl, enough is enough. Like, I'll be celibate for years. I'll do good. I'll do great. And then I may meet someone and we're in a committed relationship. Hence now, although now I am celibate. And then I slip. And I'm not blaming the other person. But it's always because the person that I meet, we are not on the same page when it comes to sex. It is so difficult to meet a man that is on the same page when it comes to sex. It's always, yeah, I'm a Christian, but where's the butt coming from? You think because you're a man and a Christian that you're excused from waiting for sex because you're a man? You think God didn't know you a man? You think God didn't know he made you a man? God knows you're a man. But just because you're a man, you're not excused. God don't be like, oh, well, because I made you a man, you can go ahead and have sex, you know, as much as you want. Or go ahead and explore and test women out, before you marry them to make sure they're good in bed. Yeah, because I made you a man, so you can go ahead and do that. But the women that I made women, they can't do that. They have to wait and keep their legs closed. You see how that doesn't make sense? Because in order for God to excuse a man, he would also have to excuse a woman. And that's ludicrous. It's foolishness. It's hogwash. Okay? The same principles, the same expectations, the same morals go for the men as they do the women. God don't have favorites. He don't pick sides and be like, you know, you different, so you can go ahead. But the rest of them, no. You're set apart for such a time as this for other things, not for this. Okay, so when people say that, I cringe inside because I feel like they're trying to make an excuse for themselves as to why it's okay to do what they're doing. Stop it. Please stop it. I want a man that's on the same page with me when it comes to sex. Honor and respect God. Honor and respect the woman you're with to not engage with her sexually until you marry her. I know that is so difficult for some men to do, but it's not impossible. When you dedicate your life to Christ, when you get serious and intentional, about your walk with Christ, it's not impossible, but you have to be intentional. You have to lay your flesh down. You have to lay your flesh aside, which I know is hard for us to do, but it's not impossible. Lay your flesh down and follow Christ, because at the end of the day, that's what it's about. It's not about your ejaculation. It's not about how many women you can have sex with. It's not about your damn needs. It's not about that. Okay, and we need to get this in our head. So anyway, I keep faltering off. So the video showed me, because in the video, they were basically saying how when you are a Christian, okay, they talked about all these demons, because demons are real, okay, and they can be transmitted through sex. Keep your legs closed and your penis in your pants. They can be translated or passed through sex. Okay, there's a translation there. Transmission, whatever. I said transmission. Y'all know what I mean. Anyways, so it's deep, okay? And I find, so when you are a Christian and you know what God wants for you and you know you're not supposed to be doing certain things and you do them, there is a guilt and there's a shame that comes after it. And it is because you are Christ, okay? Christ owns you, okay? You have given your heart to Jesus. So when you now engage in acts of sin, it's bothersome. Because I never fully understood why. I mean, I did, but I didn't understand why I would feel so guilty and so bad after having premarital sex. despite it being with that one person. That didn't make a difference for me. I still had the guilt because I wasn't married to this person. There was still the shame. There was still the guilt. Like, I wouldn't tell people I was having sex because I wasn't married. I felt shame. So it made more sense to me because I belong to God and because I know in my heart what God wants for me and I'm going against what he wants for me. It was bothersome. Okay, I couldn't rest. It was uneasy afterwards. In the act, not so much. Because sometimes I can be in my head when having sex. I'm in my head and I'm thinking about things like I shouldn't be doing this. And it takes away from the moment, which is why you shouldn't be doing it. Point blank. Now, when I was married, I didn't have guilt sex when I was married because I was married. Okay, I was married. So I didn't feel bad. But outside of marriage, I felt guilt. So this is why I've decided to stop. This is why I've decided to be celibate. And I don't give a fudge. Okay? I don't give a fudge who don't like it. And I feel good to say that. I feel good. If you don't like the fact that I'm waiting until marriage for sex, okay, you can go. You can leave. There are millions of women, unfortunately, that would have premarital sex with you and not care. You can go be with one of them, but you will not be with me. Because what's not going to happen, and this is what some women do, I am not going to bend over backwards for you just so you wouldn't leave me. I am not going to open my legs and say here just so you wouldn't leave me. If that's what it takes for you to leave, go. I don't want you anyway. Why would I want a man that will leave me because I'm not going to have sex with him? What? No. God, all-knowing, almighty God, made me and said that I am valuable and precious in his sight. And you think I'm going to degrade myself just to have you? Oh, no, honey. That's what we're not going to do. I had guys not want to talk to me because of that. It ain't. I'm fine. So I've had the conversation and I've even asked my boyfriend if he felt like he needed to leave because of sex. He said no. Which is good because there are not many guys that would do that, you know? And I said, okay, but I wasn't given permission because, no, if you want to go out here and sleep around or sleep with a woman or whatever, we're breaking up. I mean, it's just a matter of time anyway because, you know, y'all know the kids thing. I'm very transparent about that. But we're talking about sex right now. If you feel you can no longer be in this relationship, not just because of kids, but because of sex, and you want to break up now? We can do that. We can do that. We can, you know, arrange this to where, you know, because I need to move or whatever. We can arrange it to where we have broke, although we live in the same house, we have broken up because you want to have sex with someone else because you're not getting it from me. But it would need to be established and known that we are breaking up. Because what's not going to happen is you're not going to be out here having sex with who God knows who and think you're still with me. What? No. Mm-mm. I love myself too much and I know my worth in Christ too much to put up with anybody's BS. At my 42 years of age, I am not doing it. So I feel good and confident in this. Only because of Jesus that I'm able to say, you can go. And I'm able to say, I'm going to walk away. This does not serve me. It does not serve God first and foremost. So you can go. Now, I know that I shouldn't be living with a man I'm not married to. Okay. I already know that. Okay. I'm not beating myself up over that. This is the situation I'm in. This is the way it is. What I will say is that I am no longer having sex with this man, that is my boyfriend, because I choose to stop which is the best decision I could have made for myself. It's not about him, okay? I care about him. He means a lot to me. But you are not my husband, okay? I don't owe you that. And even when you're married, I hate the word owe. Like, when you're married, you don't owe each other sex. It just sounds bad. You are married to each other, so you have a responsibility towards each other to please and satisfy, okay? But you're not, like, indebted to that person. You don't owe them. Because that just sounds messed up to me. But what I should say is, I'm not entitled, I guess. I don't know what the correct word is, but we're not married. I don't have to have sex with you. And even when you are married, you don't have, I mean, you should be having sex, but it shouldn't feel like an obligation. It shouldn't feel like a job or an act. You know, it should be because I love you, because I'm married to you, and I'm attracted to you, and I want to have sex with you. It should be like that. That is healthy relations in marriage, okay? So I don't feel bad that this doesn't serve you because it's not about you, okay? It's about me loving myself and honoring what I know God wants for me. Now, he as an individual needs to seek what God wants for him as far as sex, and I can assure you it is not for him to be having premarital sex. Although some men would like to lie to themselves and tell themselves that God understands and God knows I got needs. Like, boy, who are you fooling? You really think God don't know you got needs? He made you, okay? You cannot fool God with your trickery. God is already on. God is on top. God is on. He's on top of it all. He knows all things. Before you say it out your mouth, before you think it, he knows. You can't run game on God, okay? So, whatever. Anyway, I have full understanding as to why it bothers me so much. It bothers me. It even bothers me that I'm still living with a man that I'm not married to, if we want to be clear. But this is the situation I'm in, so I am trying to, how can I say, deal with it the best way I can. And it's not that I'm suffering or I'm in a bad situation when I say deal or whatever. That's not the case. I just know this is not what God wants for me. This is my first time ever living with someone I'm not married to, because my last relationship, I was married and we were living together. So it's new to me. I wouldn't say, okay, my experience wasn't horrible as far as the experience, but when I think about, is this what God wants for me? No. So I then tell myself, I know that I'm not doing what God wants for me. However, the experience isn't bad. Would I do it again? No, because I know it's not what God wants for me. So the next relationship I'm in, we're not living together before marriage. That is not, we're not doing that. So, I mean, I wouldn't recommend it because I feel like it's not a good idea. Although my experience wasn't horrible, I wouldn't recommend it to anyone. I would say wait until you're married before living together, because you can get complacent and comfortable. Some people don't want to admit that, but I'm going to admit it. I feel you can get complacent and comfortable. Now, I don't think I'm complacent to the point where I don't want to get married, but I do feel like I get comfortable to where I don't want to move out and be on my own. I've never been on my own. This will be my first time, but it like prolongs the process because you're like comfortable or whatever. Anyway, I'm getting off topic, but back to sex and more sex. I get it. Why it bothers me. It's bothersome. Now, if you don't know your will, the will of God for your life, if you don't know what God wants for you, it may not bother you as much, but you will experience depression. You will experience things you may not have experienced before because you're sleeping with all these people and spirits. Spirits are real. Demons are real. Okay? They have demonic sexual practices and things that are in the spiritual realm that are involved with sex when done outside of marriage. And then even if you are married, if you invite the devil in your marriage, oh, he'll come. And what I mean by that is you're welcoming outside people in your marriage, meaning you are into swinging. That's demonic, okay? You are breaking your covenant by sleeping with other people, which is called swinging. You're meeting up with other married couples and having sex with them. That is disgusting. Okay, I don't care who say. I don't care if you get mad. It is disgusting. Okay? You're only supposed to have sex with the person you are married to. I know we don't like it. We may not want to hear it because we want to explore and, you know, try things out and have fun and be sexually liberated and all this nonsense. And you're just exposing yourself to so much stuff that you don't even have to expose yourself to. There is such sweet innocence in not knowing. You don't need to know and experience every single sexual thing. Like, where'd you get that from? Anyways, I just pray that we as women and men can get to a place where we wait. We practice abstinence. We practice celibacy. So that when we do meet the one we want to marry, given you want to be married, when we do meet the one we want to be married, we are not drained of our sexual energy and we are not bringing all this sexual baggage. Now, prayerfully, you'll be delivered and restored before you get married if you were someone that slept with a lot of people, you know, before you get married. And I want to go back to, now, there is shame for women. I know for myself, when we think about how many men we've been intimate with. Now, I personally, this is not something I share. I will not be sharing it on my podcast because that's none of your business. And I don't share it with people I'm in a relationship with because it's not their business. And unless you are a sex addict, I don't understand why you would even want to know that. Like, I wouldn't want to know how many women my boyfriend slept with. Just like I feel he shouldn't want to know how many people I was intimate with. Now, if I was a stripper or a sex addict or an escort in my past, then I can understand you wanting to know that. Because it's like, girl, you was a sex addict and you were, you know, you was an escort. Like, I want to know. Like, you know, I get it. And even then, if she don't want to tell you, she don't have to, you know, it's her business whether she wants to tell you or not. You can just choose to trust where she is now or not. And then, you know, you walk and go get tested together because she used to be a sex addict. You know, you want to make sure she's clean. But other than that, that is not your business. And I think any smart, wise man, for the love of all that is joy, okay, you would not want to know that. You would not want to know how many men your girl slept with. For what? What is the purpose of knowing that? So you can get mad? Like, what? Anyways, I just don't understand why people ask certain things. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I'm not telling you and I'm not asking you. Plain and simple. Because it's not my business. It was in your past. Now, if you're doing that now, like let's say you cheated on me with multiple women. Oh, I want to know how many. Especially if you're asking me to take you back, which I won't. But let's say that was a situation. I'm going to want to know. And if you messed up and you want your significant other back, you need to be willing to answer all questions. Otherwise, forget it. So that's just how I see it. So I don't share that information. And I'm trying to kill the shame because I feel shame with it because, and I think I feel shame with it because of how girls are so judged by that. You know, we're called promiscuous, we're called a hoe, and all these other names, which is ridiculous because I feel like you shouldn't judge. So that's why I feel the shame. And that's why I'm like, oh, God, I wish it wasn't. I wish I had just waited until I was married as I intended and I had planned. Because I feel it's beautiful to have sex with one person. That was a lot to say. One person, I think, is the most beautiful thing. Although some people might be like, that's boring. How are you going to gain experience if you just have sex with one person? You gain all your experience with that one person. How about that? Anyways, I think that is beautiful. You have no one to compare this person to because they are all you've ever known. This person is all you've ever known. So you have nothing to compare. I think that is beautiful. But, you know, this corrupt world we live in, their mindset is just, oh, you need to sleep around to get experience because, you know, if you don't sleep around, you're not going to gain experience, which is just nonsense. It's just nonsense. So, that was my plan. That's how I was raised to wait, but, you know, I messed up. I overcame that, you know, because that was like a real heartbreak for me. But I lost my virginity before marriage, unfortunately. I say unfortunately because I didn't like it. I didn't like that I did that. But I've grown from that place and I've learned. And I stopped beating myself up over it. I've forgiven the individual. That individual has since apologized to me. So it's okay. And God has forgiven me and God has restored me from that. So I've moved on from that. It's okay. I don't dwell on it. I don't woe is me. I'm done with that. I've grown. So presently, I'm just celibate and I'm waiting. Okay. Because all of this is for my husband. It's for the man that has taken the time to marry me. He's honoring me. He's being honorable by marrying me. Until then, no access. No access. And I mean it. And I want to stick to it. Because I would say that and then I would falter back. And this is, again, when you're not on the same page with the person you're in a relationship with, they want it, but you're trying to abstain from it. And then they pull you in and pull you back down to where you don't want to be. Me tired of that. Okay, you understand? Me tired. I'm not doing it anymore. So, and this sexual frustration, okay, I get you get sexual frustration. Go to God. What you want me to do? I am not a stress reliever. I am not here to relieve your stress through sex. We are not married. Okay? This is why I gotta get myself together and get it going. Okay? Because sometimes I get fed up. It's like, this is not okay. How can you not see that this is not okay? Are you serving the same God I'm serving? It is not okay to be engaging in premarital sex. It has never been okay. All right, y'all, I'm getting worked up. Anyways, that's all I wanted to share, okay? On today's The Conversationalist, we're having a conversation. Well, I'm having a conversation with the outside people, because I don't have any guests yet, about sex and more sex. Okay, think about sex a little deeper. I would share the video. I can't remember the name of it right now. I'll probably have to do it on the next podcast. But think about sex before you actually have sex. Think about the consequences. Think about how deep it is. Give your life to Christ if you haven't. Okay, salvation is a free, beautiful gift. Romans 10:9. Read it. All right, so I'm going to end with today's act of kindness. I usually start with it, but I'm ending with it today. So it reads, oh wait, hold on. That's not the right one. Hold on, y'all. Okay. It reads, 11th hour. Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Matthew 20:14. Today is the day. You might be very good at putting things off until the very last minute, just like those who receive their salvation when they are on their deathbed and finally see and accept the truth. The point to the parable of this scripture, However, is that while everyone is accepted into the kingdom, it is more blessed to have lived a life journey that had the freedom, peace, and joy of walking with Christ. Because you are aware that it is better to live life with Christ, apply some urgency to sharing the hope of Jesus. Share your faith openly and bravely, knowing that it's better not to leave it to the last minute. And today's acts of kindness is share a scripture of hope with a non-believer. Okay? Share a scripture of hope with a non-believer. Now, I don't know how you're going to know they're a non-believer. I guess you have to like spark up a little bit of a conversation with them to know that. But regardless, I encourage you to do it. So that is all for today. I am going to do some shopping for the homeless today. I want to start back my care packages because I haven't been doing that in decades. And quite frankly, I miss it. So that's what I'm going to do today. Noah, my fur baby, has a grooming appointment. I'm going to take him to that. Today's my off day. So next week is Thanksgiving already. Can y'all believe it? So happy, loving, warm, caring, bountiful Thanksgiving. If I don't speak to anyone or have a podcast before then or by then, I'm just going to say it now. And sending much love. Please remember Jesus loves you. If you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Savior, I encourage you to do so. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, who you slept with, what you smoked, what you drank, how drunk you may have gotten a minute ago, an hour ago, a decade ago. God loves you and he wants you in his life. Or he wants to be in your life, rather. Did y'all hear that? That was my stomach. Okay, I need to go eat something. So, yeah. I encourage you to do that. Sooner than later. Like the encouragement said, don't wait till the last minute. Okay, you can have salvation now. You can accept Jesus into your heart now. You have to wait until you're on your deathbed. You don't have to do that. But if you do, that's okay. But you don't have to do that. Do it now. The time is now. I know I sound like somebody's... I know I sound like a pastor's wife or something, don't I? But no, I don't want to be a pastor's wife, by the way. Nothing against it. Just, it's too much pressure. I don't like pressure. So I encourage you to do that, okay? I love you. Jesus loves you. And please know, email me at begentlewithyourmental@gmail.com. I need to check that email. But email me, okay? Confessions, thoughts, prayer requests. Just need someone to talk to. Vent, confess, whatever. You can talk to me. Not that I'm saying you have to confess to me. I'm not God. Don't want to be God. Just saying that you may have a confession or a vent or something you want to get off your chest that you may have done that you feel bad or ashamed about, you can tell me. Judgment-free zone here. I can pray with you, talk with you, listen to you, all that. I'm trying to get into this life coaching thing. So, yeah, all that jazz. Okay? Have a lovely Thursday, and thank you for taking the time to listen to my podcast. I really appreciate it. Till next time. Bye.